You know, the Bible says, the Lord says, when you pray, you don't have to use a bunch of words. Be simple. You know, I mean, we know we can trust God. Amen. We know we can trust God. And I tell you, of course, years change. I was talking to Kendra the other day. I'm like, okay, I'm not program driven. I'm season driven. But at the same time, I always see God's will for the season. And I'm like, okay, I know last year we did a fast and prayer. So I'm like, okay, Lord, what are you saying? Are you calling us to do a fast? Because I don't want every year change something we just do. You know, even in fasting, it's good to fast. You can't go wrong fasting. But when we fast, when we set time apart to seek God's presence, we're not doing it to kind of, what's the word? To say, all right, God, I'm fasting. You know, I'm doing my part. You better do your part. No, because when we fast, we do it for ourselves. When we set ourselves apart in the secret place, it's good for us. God will remain God no matter what the season is. You know, so I really don't know if we're going to do a fast this January. I don't know yet. I'd love to. I don't think it's a bad thing to do. But this week, I'll encourage you to read, on top of what you're reading, the book of Ephesians. I'd say this month I'm going to teach from the book of Ephesians. We're going to do verse-by-verse study in the book of Ephesians. But at the same time, read it at home. I've already read the book of Ephesians maybe 15 times this week. Every time it's different. It's just the word comes alive, you know. And this is your assignment. I know some of you signed up to be intercessors this new year. I already had somebody who comes here almost every morning to pray and intercede, seek God's face in this place. I might do that this week, you know, but I'll communicate. Let's live by the Spirit, not by, you know, just to do things, you know. So I believe this is what the Lord is telling me for the season. I searched my heart, and I shared it last week a little bit. Luke chapter 10, verse 8, Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who will still have faith? He says, when I return, will people still believe? When I return, will people still believe? The word of Jesus. He says, when I come back, will people still believe? I believe that now more than ever, there is an urgency for citizens of heaven, kingdom citizens, to hold on tight to unwavering faith, enduring faith. I love that word. Endurer. Resilient. They always say, you know, Haitians, we're resilient people because we know how to suffer and not say anything. They do. Resilient faith. Enduring faith. You know, if you write that down in your notes and go home and, you know, search the synonym of this word and you realize, man, this is a faith that just doesn't give up. I mean, just imagine, there's a story in the Bible. This woman came to Jesus. She's like, Lord, you know, my daughter is this, you know, could you please do something for her? Jesus is like, I don't take bread from my children and give it to dogs. First of all, she didn't get offended. Just imagine you go to someone. First of all, she believed Jesus could do something. Hebrews chapter 11, 6. What does it say? It says, faith, la foi vient de ce qu'on entend. Faith come by hearing. Faith come by hearing. No, that's not it. Hebrews 11, 6. Now I'm getting the Creole mixed up in my head. It says, for it is impossible to please God. And without faith, thank you, Edge. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Everyone who comes to God must know that God exists and He rewards. Is that right? He rewards, and let's read it. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must, what? First of all, believe. And then what? Believe He exists. And then what's the second one? And He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So that lady, she came, she knew, first of all, she believed. And she came. So she knows when she came, she would be rewarded. And then what did she find? Jesus said, come on, I don't take my bread and give it to dogs. Or to cats. I don't feed my bread to my dog, although some people really love their dog and they would. But certain places, we do not treat our dogs. They don't treat their dogs like we Americans treat our dogs. We really take good care of our dogs. Praise God. You know, God loves our dogs, our pets as well. But certain places, no, they don't do that. Dogs live on the street. They never feed the dog. Loves in the heat, in the cold. But this is what she said. She didn't get offended. Blessed are those who do not get offended by me. She said, Lord, I get it. But the little dogs, they do get fed off the crumbs that falls off the table. What a faith. I say, Lord, bless us with such faith. Bless us with such hope. In the midst of, we don't know what the year is going to bring. We don't know next month. But I sense, I mean, and that's what I'm doing for my life. I am holding to enduring faith. Faith that endures disappointment. Faith that endures even through unanswered prayers. Hold on. And I don't know. I sense, I was just like, is this my word, Lord? But I sense this is for us. To grow with that in the Lord, in doing faith. Faith that does not rely on hollow promises of people. But faith that rely on God's sovereignty, His power. Because with Him, everything is impossible. I mean, everything is possible. With God, everything is possible. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Fix your eyes where? Talk to me. Fix your eyes on who? Jesus. Don't fix your eyes on the government. Do not. Do not fix your eyes if you're married on your mate, on your husband or your wife. Do not fix your eyes on your children. Do not fix your eyes on me. Is there anything I can hide behind? Don't take your eyes off of me. Don't. I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus. Focus. Bring the focus on Him. Why? Because He is the pioneer. Hallelujah! This makes me excited. I'm like, He started it. And then what? I can count on Him to what? To finish it. So the same God who saves you is mighty enough to see you through. Be hopeful. So fix your eyes on Him. You know? And then what does it say else? What else? It says, for the joy set before Him, here's my word. What did He do? He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And now, if you all go with me to the story of the cross, Jesus at the garden brought three of his disciples with him to pray, and he said, guys, pray with me. So Jesus was at a vulnerable moment. He's like, I'm so weak. And he even went, it's like, praise God, Father, Lord, is there another way? Is there another way? And of course, there was no other way, but Jesus, in his humanity, he asked, Father, Lord, is there another way? You know, maybe you might find yourself in situation now or in future situation, and you ask the Lord, is there another way? And you know God is good, but life happens. You know, there's another song. I actually texted that to you guys on December 31st. There's another song that the Lord is really using to minister to my soul. It's by a lady called Kathy Tricoli. How would I know? If it wasn't for the hard time. How many times, I mean, we say, God, thank you for, you know, the Lord. Thanksgiving. God is so good. He's so faithful. This year, job was good. Work was great. Children's healthy. You know, about the hard times. Can we say, you know what, Lord? I thank you for my friend for 20 years who just wants to disown me, divorce me over a stupid argument. It's like you're going to throw 20 years of friendship, deep friendship. Let's fix it. Let's talk about it. Let's take responsibility. I repent, you repent, and then we move on. That's what mature people do. Can I thank God through it all, through the pain of rejection, of disappointment? Can I be like, Lord, I don't get it, but Father, thank you. Because I'm allowing what I'm going through, I'm enduring it, to perfect me, to bring me to perfection. That's all. I don't know. I hope I can communicate what's in my heart. I seriously hope. Put that verse back on the screen. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Maybe you've been enduring a cross. Maybe some of you, you'll be like, you might be in a situation, you're like, you know what? I can't endure it anymore. Don't give up. Don't give up. Hold on tight. He will see you through. He will see you through. I mean, in the past week and a half, 2 weeks, I feel like I'm in a revival with my own family. Where God is just doing so great, so many good things in my extended family, you know, like your extended family. He's doing it. And I'm telling you, it's not like I see drastic change, but I'm just in another level of grace. Give grace. We sing, right? Amazing. It was grace that taught my, come on, how did it say? It's God's grace that taught your heart. Oh, my goodness. Let's read that again. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down now at the right hand of God. You know, I was telling you, I was in the story of the garden, Gethsemane, before he went to the cross. He told his disciples to pray with him and even pray to Father. He says, Father, is there another way? But not my will. Let your will be done. So may the will of God be done in your life. May it be done to you according to God's will. May you be, and I love there's one key verse in Ephesians. We're gonna go deep into it. Paul talks about may the spirit of your eyes be open. your understanding. Above all gain, it's like in all you getting, in all the things you're getting this year, get understanding. Get wisdom. From all the things we get, you know? I mean, really, that's one of the things Kendra and I, we're like, okay, we don't want clutter. If we have something, and I've done it, if I look in my garage, if I have something I haven't touched in a couple of months, give it to Goodwill, give it to somebody, sell it on Facebook Marketplace. It makes no sense for me to be walking through my garage and be like that. You know, some people, they can't even walk through their garage. Too much stuff, declutter your life. Declutter. Cluster. Clutter? However you say it. However you say it. Declutter. Get understanding. Get wisdom. Among all the things we got, we get. You know, we look at our lives. Like, man, when we moved 6 years in Virginia Beach, we moved, literally moved with 5 suitcases. Yeah. 5 suitcases. And then, of course, when we were buying our house, thank God for all of you who blessed us with many things, lawnmowers and dishes and spoons and whatever. We were moving at our house, and we were talking like, you know what? The neighbors would be like, what happened? I never saw a moving truck. Because we really didn't have anything. Because we moved in the house with nothing. We left all our lives, all of our belongings back home in Haiti. So among all the things we be collecting, because I look at my life, I'm like, wow, yeah, we have everything we need now. Praise God. We don't need bed. We have, you know, we've got everything we need. Everything you need. It says, in all you're getting, above all, because I've gotten a lot of things in the past 6 years. I'm like, in all I'm getting this year, more stuff, wisdom, understanding. Because, I love this verse, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3, it says, by wisdom a house is built, by understanding it's established, by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. 3 words. By wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, I've been taught it here before. If you forgot, let me remind you. Wisdom is knowledge applied. Wisdom is when you apply the knowledge that you gain from understanding. You just live by it. What makes a person wise is the knowing what to do and he does it. And knowing what not to do and he doesn't do it. You become wise. But at the same time, Proverbs chapter 3 says, let us be not wise in our own eyes. So I count on God's wisdom in all we are getting, above all, get understanding. I'll come back. I don't know how long we're going to be in Ephesians. And I'm actually on my way to introduce the book of Ephesians. That's where I'm at. This is so good. God's word is life. Read it. Spend time in it. Read it. Meditate on it. Obey it. God's word. I'm going to read that again. By wisdom a house, and then I'll elaborate later on. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And those 3 words usually work, goes together in the Bible, especially in the Bible. Understanding, you don't get understanding without knowledge. And when you gain knowledge, when you live by what you know, that's how you become wise. Wisdom is knowledge applied. The knowledge you have, you live by it. That makes you wise. Here's another verse. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Who wants to accept these words? It says, consider it pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know, there it is, the testing of your faith. You remember what I said last week? There is no testimony without a test. So what's your testimony? I have a testimony. I have a story to tell. This is my story. What's my story? I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was bitter, but now I'm not bitter anymore. I was mean, but now I'm all of a sudden kind. Whatever your story might be, but consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds because of your testing of your, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And now, remember I told you, go back home and look for the word endurance. Enduring. In the word enduring, you'll find perseverance. When you endure, a person who endure, persevere. Don't give up. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on God's calling in your life. Do not give up on God's calling in your life. It doesn't matter if you're 89, 90. Do not give up. Whatever your age is. And then, of course, if you keep going on in the book of James, it talks about, you know, suffering and stuff. And then the writer says, I hope none of you will suffer because you intermingle into others' affair. You know, like if you go on Facebook and, you know, talking about whatever you want to talk about and people start going at you, don't be like, oh, they're attacking me for my faith. You know, be wise. Choose your fight. Choose your fight. You know, we live in a very intolerated generation. Is that how you said it? Untolerated. You know, people have no tolerance. You know, we can't agree that we disagree. Because I disagree with you, people think I must kill you or I must be your enemy. No. We can disagree. We can see it different. Certain things, you know, you might not like the mayor in Virginia Beach, but I might like some of their policy, but we shouldn't be enemy for that. Wisdom, above all, in all you're getting, get wisdom, because then you will know when to be like a dove and when to be like a serpent. You will know. Here's another verse. Matthew chapter 24 verse 13 says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And once again, I know there's a big argument out there. Once saved is always saved. Be careful. Because the Lord says the one who endures. Because you've confessed the Lord as your Jesus as your Lord 15 years ago, and now you choose to just live for yourself and bashing the saints, disconnect from the body of Christ, or, you know, living for the flesh, living for the world. Don't assume when you die you're going to go to heaven. I know there's great argument out there. Once saved, always saved. There it is. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Do not think before Jesus comes, things are going to be better. I was talking to some of my pastors in Haiti, and I was telling them, I'm like, you know what? And one of them gave me a good wish. And they're like, you know, really, guys, the past week, I really missed Haiti. Because there's just something about having the new year, being there for the new year, you know. It's like, I'm speechless. And it's been, what, almost 4 years now? I haven't been. This is the longest I've been out of my country. My own. Longest I've been out. This, and every year, it's not getting easier. But this year was better because I discern my season better. So therefore, I feel like I have grace for the season. And then I give God glory instead of mourning and pity myself and be depressed for a day. No, I had joy. I just like wish I could be there. And then one of the pastors were telling me like, you know, New Year wishes and stuff. And it's like, you know what, Pastor? One of the things I'm praying, I said, I stand with you, but this is what he said. I pray this year that you can come. That's a good wish. And I agree. I say amen. I said, this year, I hope I can go to Haiti. That's one of my wish. Somebody's like, what's your wish for 2026? I said, I want to go back home for a visit. I want to take care of my business. I want to see my house. I want to see my stuff. I want to see my people. You know, I do. But at the same time, I'll be fine if I never go. The world's not going to get easier. Rumors of wars we're going to hear. It's going to get worse as the Lord's day closer, getting closer and closer. That's why I love Hebrews chapter 12. It says what? Fix. Put the focus on Jesus. Put the focus on Jesus. You know, you might think, man, I'm young, I'm 20, I'm 19, I'm 18. You got your whole life ahead of you. Who knows? How do you know that? How do you know that? You don't know. So put all your hope in the Lord. Matthew 24, verse 13. Here he goes again. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. You know, and you when you study this word saved here, it goes with the story of the 10 guys that was healed by Jesus. This is what happened. Long story short, 10... Leopards, right? Jesus healed them. They went. And then one came back saying, Lord, thank you. Jesus said, well, your faith saved you. Same word here. So that guy who came back to Jesus encountered the salvation of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So, Father, we pray today, just fill us with your love, that we would be able to bear all things, believe all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So we banish the spirit of skepticism. Instead of always seeing the cup half empty, you see it half full. You'll live better. Because believe me, if we were able to change people, man, we would be like, change. We'd be like, change. We'd be like, Ricardo, on us, would start on us, change. We can't change people. So we have to trust. The Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 13, 7, love bears all things, believe all things, hope in all things, endureth all things. Galatians chapter 6, 9, let us not become weary in doing good. For all the proper time, at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. What? How? If we don't give up. So how do we reap a harvest at the proper time? If. You see that word if here? You all know should know better. When the word if is used in a phrase, it means it's conditional. The benefit. I mean, yeah, people would be like, yeah, let us not become weary. Okay, that's good and good and doing good. Yes, we will reap the harvest. Period. There's no period. If. And you know, sometimes not worry, become weary in doing goods, you might not even see the result. How many times we hear stories of missionaries who goes overseas, spent years preaching the gospel, no one become to the Lord, but after they passed, there was this one guy. Somehow the Lord planted the seed. We might not see. We might not reap the good, the benefit, or the harvest down here on earth. But one thing we can be sure of is this. If we do not give up, there will be a harvest. I hope you get it. I hope you get it. Oh, may God have mercy on us. Galatians chapter, Romans chapter 5 verse 3. And then I have one more verse. It says, Romans chapter 5 verse 3, suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. So whatever you're going through, you know, 2025, this is a year we will never live again on this planet. So let the year go. Already rewriting, right? January 4th, 2026. Let this new season bring you hope. And may God use you as an agent of hope. For 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we live by faith, not by sight. So in conclusion, and then I'll continue next week. I told you, I didn't even get to the introduction of Ephesians because I feel like this is enough. But listen to this. Focus, keep the focus on Jesus. Look into Jesus as the model. Jesus is our model. Read the Gospels. You know the Gospels. Read the book of John. I give you a homework. Remember, this week we're going to be in the book of Ephesians. Read it. On top of whatever else you've been reading in your devotions. But spend time in the book of Ephesians. Focus on Jesus. Looking to Him as your model. He is my model. My model of endurance. He didn't give up. Jesus is not a quitter. He doesn't quit on people. You know, He doesn't quit when life gets tough. Perseverance in trial. Recognizing that the challenges build steadfastness. It builds character. Don't give up when things are hard. You know, some of you remember when America, at the time where, I don't think any of you is that old yet, but we read stories when there was an electricity, or when electricity just came, right? Maybe you didn't remember that. You're not that old. I remember growing up without electricity. I grew up without electricity in the house. Grew up with, outhouses in the backyard. And now God bless us with inside indoor plumbing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right? It was a really bad thing when you had to go to the outhouse at night. Ooh. You didn't believe in Jesus? You thought the devil was out there waiting for you? Persevere in trial. You know, persecution is not a bad thing. And I know, actually, the men's group is going through the book of Acts. And in Acts, the first couple of chapters, later on, as the church grew, persecution will come. And thank God that we do not, there is no persecution in America against us believers. But there are believers right now in the world, different places in the world, who are being persecuted for their faith. What would you do if you had a 50-50 chance today, you know, if we gather here, you would be arrested? I think persecution is not a bad thing. Hard time is not a bad thing. We're not saying God sent hard time. That's not what we're saying. But hold on tight to endure in faith, persevere in trials. Because remember, whatever trial we go through, if you hold on, you'll come out victorious. Hope and promise, holding on to God's promises. And then, once again, this tied up to what I started with, enduring faith. Hold on to a faith that doesn't give up when you're disappointed. And I thank God for each of you, especially for those of you who choose to endure when we do life together. You know, when you let people in, last week I said 6 inches. Yeah. When you let people close 6 inches, of course they're going to hurt you. When you really get to know me, I might hurt you. But I pray if I do, you would be mature enough to come and say, you know what, Ricardo, this is what you said. This is what you do. It really hurt me. So we can talk and be healed and grow in Christ together instead of divorcing me and go church hopping. And that's what you find in the church, immature people. And then I tell you, God is here. This is, once again, another word God gave me this year. He says, I said, Lord, what is it says, remain a disciple-making church. Everything we do here is to make you a better disciple of Christ. I have no agenda to be famous, to be known. Jesus is it. The name of Jesus. Jesus is coming back. There's no time to be playing church. If you have sin in your life, repent. If your life is not right, make it right. If you're not good with people, if you don't have peace with people, find peace with people. Put your stuff in order. Have a will spiritually. You know what that means, Americans? Don't just die like that. Have a will. Spiritually be ready. And I say, Lord Jesus, come in our midst. Lord Jesus, make us uncomfortable in our sin. You know, if we have sin in our lives, make us uncomfortable when we come here. This place, this pulpit here is for Jesus. Every time we stand here, I said, God, diminish in me the fear of men and increase in me the fear of God. And I pray that your spiritual ears would be open when God speak to you. You would repent. Or you would just be like, yes. Like I said, who wants to receive these words? I said, Lord, I do. Amen?